You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, good morning, Christina.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, I'm calling you in, I'm in Michigan. You're in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. We're buddies. We're not too far.
No, we must have similar weather. Are you elevated at all? Or I know there's a lot of hills around there, but...
Yeah, I would say so. Pennsylvania is really pretty this time of year. And I would say, yeah, we have a good amount of, you know, it's not like Ohio where it's just flat lands. There's a lot of hills and everything, but yeah, weather is beautiful.
Ohio flattens out. Yeah. Well, Christina, tell a lot of the listeners obviously know who you are, but for those that don't, introduce yourself and tell us, you know, right now what's hot. What makes you who you are at this point in your career?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Christina Tarantola. I am a transformation coach and intuitive healer. And I really help women to get clear on what it is that they want for their life, that big vision. And all of us, I think, are continually growing and getting to that next level of life. And I teach women and guide them how to accelerate that path. So I blend hypnosis, a lot of mindset work, inner child healing, aligned strategy to help women really manifest and create what they want for their life. What I've learned is that a lot of people will focus a lot on the mechanics of something rather than really looking at, well, what's your mindset? Because really that's 90% of it. So a lot of people kind of have that backwards. So, you know, and I'll go into my own personal story, but that's really what I love doing is helping women to transform and create the life that they want. So whether that's losing weight or, you know, being more financially abundant, whatever that is, it's called the Lighten Up Method, that helps women really get to that place where they're rocking it in their business, they're confident, they're feeling really good about where they are in life. So that's really what I do. And I've created, you know, I have group programs, I have retreats and in-person experiences for people to really help them not only think about who they want to be, but really embody and activate those deeper layers of who they're meant to be in this lifetime. So pretty deep stuff.
Yeah. What do you mean between the mindset and what they're doing versus the mindset first? Tell me about that.
Right. So using this Lighten Up Method, I believe that 90% of everything that we try to do in life or like a vision or a goal needs to be about the energetics and the mindset. So for example, if you want to have a healthier body, yes, you can go out there and you can do the mechanical things, right? So you can exercise, you can, you know, eat better, all those things. But what I have noticed with people is we all know what to do, but there's layers of resistance that build up due to past experiences or failures or all of these other things that are pretty much like beliefs that are foundational to what we do as human beings. And this all goes back to subconscious work, which I'll go into, but a lot of it is the mindset and really working on helping you shift those layers of resistance so that you can accelerate the path to getting what you want. Because if we all got what we wanted, we wouldn't need coaches. We wouldn't need people like you, you know, who are sharing the knowledge and the wisdom. We need that in order to really accelerate and move ourselves to that next level. So we need coaches and mentors and people like you, podcasters, to help shed light on, well, what is it? Why are we bumping up against those roadblocks? And I've seen that. I've been doing this work for 6 years now. So that's really what I mean about, you know, not focusing as much on the mechanics, but really looking at the energy behind the mindset of who you think you are and how we can get you to that vision.
Yeah, the information's there. We all know that there's a carpet right there that's begging me to do sit-ups and push-ups, but I'm not agreeing to it because I've got something up here that I don't want to do that. All right, so your hypnosis. So I'm picturing that you're bringing people on stage and having them like sound like chickens and stuff like that. And I know that's not the case. So tell me, that caught my ear. What do you mean by hypnosis?
Right. So hypnosis is really just an altered state of consciousness. And we actually go in and out of trance about 7 times every day. So if you're driving to work and you've driven the same way every day, sure, you might drive past that green light. And then once you pass it, you're like, oh, was that green or red? Like,
oh, yeah.
You're just so focused on thinking about something else. You went into a trance state and your subconscious mind knew, oh, green light means go.
Sure.
So there are ways that we go in and out of trance every day. So trance is a natural state. Hypnosis is actually putting you in an intentional trance so that we're accessing that subconscious mind, which comprises about 90% of our everyday actions. So the subconscious mind is everything that you believe about yourself, your worth, how you grew up, the thoughts that you think about yourself. It's all very deep and kind of in the background. That's the way I would describe it. Or you can think of like an iceberg, you know, you can only really see 5 to 10% of it. Everything else is below the surface. So hypnosis is really targeting that subconscious mind to reprogram towards more positive behaviors. So say that you want to be more financially abundant, but you have an internal belief system in that subconscious programming of lack or scarcity, or you saw your parents struggle. There's all of those little subtle nuances that are kind of in the background blocking you from moving forward and maybe being seen in your business or showing up powerfully when you give a speech or a talk. So it really depends on the person as far as like what I'm targeting and what the hypnosis is going to involve. But
sure.
All of us have it, right?
Yeah.
We all have those things that kind of block us from our full potential. And that's really the work that I do.
So you're getting down into that deeper, that deeper layer of things that are, you know, preventing people from subconsciously from wanting to or being able to make moves like that.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, Christina, tell me right now, don't give me figures, but this is a part of your income, a significant part, all of your income, what you're doing?
Yeah. So I would say it's kind of, like I said in the beginning, it's a blend. I use a blend of tools. Like if you think of like a toolkit, you know, you have a hammer, you have a wrench and different things that you use for different, I hate to use the word problems, but like things that you need to fix, right?
Yeah.
And so I kind of intuitively know, okay, this person is resisting something that I'm recommending and I can apply that.
Let me back up. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking about, just digging quickly deep and rudely into
your... It's okay. I'm an open book.
Tell me about your personal income, how you pay your bills and so on.
Yeah.
Don't give me numbers,
mm-hmm,
but give me a percentage of where your coaching is now. Is it part-time? Is it medium-time? Is it full-time?
Oh, it's full-time. Yeah.
It's full-time. Congratulations to
you. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not working as a pharmacist anymore. I have 3 programs. So the one, my base program is the Lighten Up Kickstarter program. That's a group program. It's an 8-week container. Then I have my next level program is the Lighten Up Transformation program. It's a 1-to-1 experience over 3 months. And then I have my highest level program, which is the Lighten Up Mastery. And that's a 4-month program. And then, like I said, I have, like an upcoming retreat that I'm doing. And I do individual hypnosis sessions for people who just want that quick, you know, I know what my problem is. I know what the block is. Let's go dive right in there. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, that answers the question. How much of this is live versus like what we're doing, talking over the internet and so on?
Yeah. So I used to do a lot of my consultations in person, which I love. I think that it's great to have that, that ability to be able to, you know, have the in-person conversations. But what I've also found is, to be honest, people are living busy lives. So if I can jump on a Zoom call, you know, that just makes both of our lives easier. We don't have to worry about traffic. I can take clients out of state. I have, you know,
right,
clients all over the place. So
right,
it's really convenient to just do that. So I would say I do work with people. I would say like 5 to 10% in person as far as like the coaching aspect.
Yeah.
If I need to do any kind of, you know, but I can do hypnosis over Zoom as well.
Wow,
so,
that's cool. Well, so we're talking to, so I'm setting it up here. We're talking to a pro here.
Thank you.
Right? You're not dabbling in this stuff.
No.
This is it.
This is my life work. Yeah.
This is your life work. Bring us back then. Where did you obviously started as a pharmacist? Maybe in community pharmacy of some sort.
Yeah. So I actually started sweeping floors in my dad's pharmacy
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. So Joe Tarantola, he was such a big influence, and is still such a big influence in my life. He was a pharmacist and had a drugstore in Kings Park, Long Island, for I think it was 32 years. So I really grew up seeing him, you know, interacting with patients. And I was really humbled because I saw from literally sweeping floors all the way up to being a pharmacist. And, you know, I just learned he was just so charismatic with people and made them feel better. Because as we all know, there's a lot of illness. Obviously people are coming in sick. So he really showed me, you know, how to kind of put myself out there and, you know, not be afraid to take chances. And that's really, I think, and it probably wasn't what he wanted, because I think he wanted me to stay in his community pharmacy, but he wound up selling it. So back in 2014.
How old was he and roughly why did he sell it?
So that was 2014. So he was about 62, ready for retirement.
Gotcha.
I wanted to go off and kind of do my own thing. So I did a residency at an independent pharmacy in Brooklyn. And, he just kind of wanted to relax, and now he enjoys tennis and he's doing all sorts of things. So,
and you knew your own thing was not there. It was more what? More medical, more patient based or something, or?
Right. So I kind of knew, I saw all of the years that I worked there that there wasn't much time for that one-on-one connection. And so I really wanted that. So I thought, let me pursue a residency. Let me go through that avenue. And I started to teach diabetes classes in that residency. And I started to see how much I loved nutrition. So I went and took and got another certification through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. In the meantime, I was going through my own health issues. So it made it even more compelling for me to really master that, because I had an eating disorder and anxiety. And I started to see, I guess this is really where everything opened up for me, was I started to see that, you know, pharmacy was great. And I think that medications have a place, but at the same time, we're whole beings. We can't just look at the physical aspect. I started learning about, you know, all of the things that I do now, hypnosis and the things that help me shift and heal myself. So I started to really want to go into that avenue of entrepreneurship and coach people like I do now. So like I said, it was really that vision of seeing, well, what's possible for my life. And I think that's really where it all started, was really, that residency, and everything just kind of followed after that.
How long between your dad selling the store, you having these ideas, how long did that take for you then to wean off a pharmacy wage? Did you just drop off and do this stuff, or did you work part-time during this, or what?
Yeah, so I was really blessed that I was able to work part-time at a pharmacy in Queens for about 3 years. And then I actually moved to Pittsburgh in, 2016. So I've always worked part-time and then kind of built my business up on the side, but it was primarily health coaching before. So that's what I was doing before, a lot with lifestyle change and diet and nutrition. But I started to see, like I said, that mechanics part of like telling somebody this is what you need to do wasn't enough. Like I wanted people to get deeper results. And so I started to look into the mindset work, and that's really the transformation work I do now. It developed into that.
The health coaching, when that started, was that like a one-on-one thing? Like, hey, I can do this and we'll set up a meeting, and then eventually you're charging these people, and then that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually started off speaking at, because I didn't know how to speak. I actually did really poorly at speech in college. I was shaking. I was literally shaking.
That's a common theme among speakers, I think.
Yeah.
You know, before they know they can.
Well, yeah, and I started, you know, like I said, I was at I think it was an assisted living or nursing home, and these elderly people were literally falling asleep. And I'm like, I don't care. I just need to practice. It doesn't matter. It's all right.
And there's an old saying that says, if you're nervous, picture people in their underwear. But in your case, it was probably true, you know, with the elderly there. So
yeah. So and I started doing just YouTube videos, and they were really bad quality and lighting and all that. And then you just, it's like a muscle, you just build it over time.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to your YouTube things. I got a couple questions on that.
Yeah.
So when do you start? So there's got to be some enjoyment or like a wow factor in getting your first payments for something outside of the pharmacy. When did that happen? Like, you were just charging people and they paid, and there's got to be some like satisfaction in that. Like, boy, I'm doing something that my dad never did, or I never even thought I could do.
Yeah, it was definitely a stretch, because when you're used to getting paid hourly and you don't have to actually ask, like, hey, can I get paid today? Like, your boss just, you know, direct deposits your check. And now you're reframing to, wow, I actually have to say, this is my price and this is my value. Yeah, right. It's definitely a shift. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when they're just starting out, there's a lot of fear around that, because it's like, well, how much do I charge and what am I worth? And I'm used to getting hourly pay. And
right.
So it really required a lot of just internal work. And I got some coaching with that as well. But it was a big shift.
What was the impetus of going to your first larger, you know, what was the impetus of moving from the elderly falling asleep in the nursing home to a more mainstream? And I know you have some, like you said, you've got some videos. I know you have at least a couple books. Mm-hmm. Were those instrumental in giving some background to you or credence to you when you would go, you could refer back to those, or how did those mesh?
Yeah, I feel like it's literally building. When you build a business, you have to lay a foundation. So for me, it was like, writing has always been something that I've been drawn to. So I, you know, wanted to share my story. That's really how that started. And then, you know, expressing ideas. I feel like, I forget what I saw it somewhere, but it was talking about, I think it was the law of multiplicity. I saw it in a YouTube video, and it talks about being able to be at multiple places at one time. So if I can make a YouTube video,
right,
if I can write a book, I can be multiple places at one time, and I can conserve my energy and be enjoy my life pretty much.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know that your dad and my dad at the pharmacies, in the old days, people would come in and they'd want to say, well, where's Jim, you know, and where's Joe, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that allowed us to, well, there was radio and things like that people could hear voice. But the first thing that allowed that was, which I really realized like 10 years ago, was being able to say, wait a minute now, I could put a little video on here and see the same people, you know, see thousands instead of 10 or 20, and I can do it, and I can do it at a later time. And then if they want to respond, they can text me or message mm-hmm. me, and I can do it back. So yeah, so it was starting to spread yourself out with the media. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I said, I think it's just like building. You know, you write blogs, then you kind of, then someone else reaches out with a new opportunity. And then I went and wrote books, and it just kind of builds on each other. And you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, like, how did I do all of that? But it's just one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And really staying committed to, well, why am I even doing this in the first place? Because to be honest, I could just go to any chain pharmacy and make $100,000, no problem.
Right.
But for me, it's so much more than that. I feel like not only do I want to surpass that, but I want to make such an impact that my children and their children are like, you know, wow, look what this person did. Look what an impact they made. It's like leaving a legacy for me. It's so much deeper than just, you know, getting the money and going.
Right. You talk about the little jumps through the social media. One of your YouTube posts has 44,000 views. And tell me about that. I mean, that's, we could call that viral, I think, at this point. I don't know if there's an official definition of viral, but what was that like? And I know, you know, then you had one with, first you had like 24 or 5,000 views, and you probably thought you may not repeat that again, and then you're up to 44. What does that do to your mind? And is that cool, or?
Yeah, I've always, it was really interesting. When I was 18, and I don't know where this thought, like, I just got this knowing in my heart that, like, I want to reach thousands of people. So when that came to fruition, it's almost like what I said in the beginning. It's like, I had this vision, and then I'm taking the steps and the actions to get there. And then once it's there, it's like, wow, it's the impact that really,
yeah,
it's astounding to me, Yeah. So
some click and some don't. Do you get a, I think we all have that. I know I have that thing where it's like you always want to improve. And if you've gone from 100X, whatever X is, views or viewers or something else out in life, how many apples your farm produced or something. Once you hit 100, then you want 1,000. And then once you hit 1,000, you want 10,000. Do you fall into that trap?
I think we all do in a way.
I think we all do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to anchor back into, I think, realize now is the time to really just be grateful for all of that. Have to keep moving and having targets and goals and all that, but also being grateful for where you've been.
Yeah. Where you've been. And then you always have to keep going back to what do you like to do? And if you're maybe spending too much time on that, it's nice to have the those metrics come out. But if you're spending too much time on that and that's your real joy, it makes you question, could I be doing something else that's more joyful or more impactful to me that would not make as, big of a difference to me?
Yeah. And what's funny is that wasn't even my goal to get 44 or 50, whatever it is. It was just kind of like, I want to deliver this information. People, I know patients are out there Googling, Topamax and drugs and, what can this drug, what are the side effects? So I'm like, let me just be upfront and be like, hey, I'm not, affiliated with this company, but this is what you're going to be expecting. Cause I know you're out there Googling it anyway.
Yeah. Right. So, right. I talked to Tony Guerra, couple weeks ago, and he was mentioning his how things took off with his audio book. Do you have your book in audio at all, or have you ever thought of that?
One of them I do. Yeah, it's the first one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you see any jump in that, or was that kind of I know his stuff is more study based and things like that, so I can see people listening to that in a car and so on. Did you see any success with that over and above your books and so on?
I think that there's nothing better than, and you're going to laugh at this, I have books in my car, like in the trunk of my car.
Not laughing.
So, I'm laughing for myself because I think it's just so interesting that, you can have all these, mediums and ways of selling books. And it's like, right. I'm back here the old school way, just like selling it out of my car.
Good for you.
But yeah, I definitely noticed that. Yes. I mean, some people like the tangible book. Like, I actually like highlighting in a book, but
yeah, right. Some people love holding that.
Yeah. It's just like different mediums and ways to get the message out there. So
yeah. How did you know, Christina, how did you know from, it always seems like this never happened to me, but I always feel like I'd be like the birthday kid. Like, no one shows up to my party.
Yeah.
you always read those like in mail online or these things where this kid, he invited his whole class and one person showed up. And I think I always have thoughts of that if I were ever to do a crowd kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How did you know when you scheduled your weekends that you were going to have more than, one person or three people in the crowd? Mm-hmm. Did you do an RSVP with the ability to cancel if things went belly up? Or how do you know when you're going to get enough crowd to you know, whatever for me it would be, I guess I would embarrass myself if one person showed up and I had 100 shares set up. So how do you deal with that?
This is a great question, because this goes back to that initial thing I talked about, having the vision and then all of the resistance comes up, right? So you're like, all right, I want to have this big event, but then your fears come up and you're like, oh, I remember that time when I was four on the playground and no one showed up for my birthday. And it's when you're clearing, this is what I do with people, it's like clearing that crap out, honestly, and helping you accelerate to really visualize, like, if you were a client of mine, I would say, all right, well, like, how many people do you want to have? And what does it look like? And how do you feel, like, attaching that feeling to that vision? Like, you know, what is it? Like, are you confident? How do you look? What are you wearing? All this stuff, really painting a picture, getting rid of that. And then saying, having you take action. So like that might be reaching out to people in your local community and saying, hey, listen, I thought you might enjoy this event. Being able to take that action based on the belief in yourself that this is my vision and this is the action I'm going to take to get there. So I think a lot of it, it's natural, right? We all have that, like, you know, imposter syndrome or like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so many of that, you know, resistance comes up and the fears. But I think, and I've had those fears too, with my most recent event, I've noticed such an influx of people just gravitating. It's kind of like a magnet there. When you have your messaging very clear and you have a really nice, to me, I think that this helps is like a landing page, like, hey, here's what you're going to get. And, you know, if this is the result you want, come to this event, people will naturally just, you know, magnetize to your message. That's the way I see it.
And you're getting, and you're getting probably some, you're getting some numbers ahead of time even. So
It's
not like you're showing up and you don't know. You're getting some of that ahead of time coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do, you know, early bird pricing, and they get like, I have attached bonuses. Like, you have to incentivize people for signing up for those, you know, events a little bit early, but it's proven to work for me. So
yeah, that's great. I know like your more recent event now is going to be in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
When, if ever, comes the time where you're then going out a little bit further because your crowd might be getting bigger because of social media and so on?
That's such a great question. I think that I'm actually going to a retreat in September for myself to help me embody more leadership. I think that entrepreneurs just naturally, you want to get to that next level and you want to continue to grow. And I think that's my next level of growth, is exactly what you said, you know, really getting out there and creating a retreat and maybe having it in a nice sunny place, you know? So, that's really where I'm stretching myself and where I see myself going next, is creating more of an in-person experience, like an immersion experience, to help people.
Sure. And my dad used to always joke, it's like, why do they always have conferences in, you know, such and such? Why don't they ever do it in like Detroit or something like that? You know, so that's kind of the whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say to you?
These are great questions.
Oh, well, thank you. These are ones that people get upset with me through life, because they're like, shut up, just let's keep driving or something like that. If you could strip away any of this stuff, the things that you have to do on your own, and you may have some assistance and so on, what are you finding as your, you know, most joyous part of this? And what part is like, I got to do this again. I got to get the reservations out, or this or that. What part is fun, and what part are you ready to have a huge staff that you can give it to the little people?
I just hired on an assistant about a month and a half ago. So she's really helpful just in, you know, scheduling people and getting the Zoom links out. You know, all just that mechanical stuff that it's like, I want to just be able to show up. She's going to be there helping me at my event with registrations and all that kind of stuff. But I just see myself, and I've seen this vision since I was young, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, of just being with a group of women and facilitating that transformation experience, causing breakthroughs, having people, just really get the fact that you can make anything happen in your life. You know, you're a conscious creator. You can, there's a thousand possibilities. And I think just having people realize that that's possible, because I think so much of it is, you know, we're surrounded by a lot of, you know, negative news and people, you know, even, you know, to be honest, my own family, they're like, you're crazy. What are you doing? You know, you can't do that. There's so many limitations we put on ourselves that we don't think we can have that vision, that dream life, whatever it is. And I want to facilitate people having those possibilities actually be created in their life.
Yeah, it always helps. It always helps when your family stands behind you by telling you you can't do it and you're crazy.
Yeah, but my dad knows that that makes me push harder. So
yeah, he knows it. I had a question that slipped me earlier, and I remember. Has the pharmacy, being a pharmacist, ever affected your image? Will there be a time when you think, or are there times when you say, I don't want to put myself in that hole and even label myself as that because people are going to think a certain way? Or have you always used that, and do you think you'll always use that?
I think that there's definitely a, like, people kind of turn their head when they hear doctor, and I, you know, like Dr. Christina, you know, that's, it's just this, that's how we think, right? It's like, we're associated with titles and, oh, you're an author and this and that. And that's just the reality of it. So I think that that definitely adds a certain element of expertise, you know? And so I don't regret, you know, anything that I've done in my past as far as going through pharmacy school. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't dissociate from it. I think it's a great asset to, again, it's like the building the house, right? It was part of my foundation and it led me to where I am now. So I think that the people who are following me now understand that that's who I was, that's where I started. And now if they really see the content and what I'm creating, it's not really a part of it, you know, obviously, but I think that it was definitely foundational from where I, for my roots and where I came from.
Yeah. So you don't think you'll ever, I mean, picture this, Christina, you're on the Today Show.
You have big visions for me.
I do. I think you're doing great. I've looked back and, you know, you've refocused yourself. I know that you were the nutty nutritionist back in the days on YouTube.
Wow, you really dug back.
so now you are yourself, and I think that's a good move. So then you're on the Today Show. There's some of the kids coming down the steps. So now you're on the Today Show, and I'm just curious, does pharmacists enter into that conversation or not?
I'm going to say no, because it's not in the scope of what I do now.
Right. It's not in the scope. It's your history. But,
yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, you don't have to bring up your whole, you don't want to bring up your whole history all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about your, when you were talking about your vision of the people in the crowd and so on, I'm imagining that vision is so strong because you've got people then coming up to you and saying how you've changed them and you've done this for them and they want to thank you for this and so on. I imagine that's a tremendous feedback loop of having that live, you know, those live things.
Absolutely. And to me, that's really what it's all about, that feeling. I think that the reason why we as humans do things is for a feeling. You know, we want more money because it's going to help us feel more secure or calm or centered or whatever it is. We want to lose weight to feel confident. For me, I do this business for that feeling of like, I help someone and they gave that feedback and I feel a sense of purpose. Like, that's my core feeling that I always, I'm like, wow, you know?
I can imagine. And that's something that, you know, I get, I've had in the past in the pharmacy, but, you know, people are probably not in the condition of you coming in your pharmacy and like breaking down and crying and thanking you for that medicine you gave them.
Yeah.
But you're kind of in the position where people can, you know, let loose a little bit more. What kind of things keep you up at night now with this career? What worries or concerns do you have that you have to fight through?
I think that one of the lessons I've recently kind of worked through was this. I was leaning in too much. Like whenever, if someone would say, "Oh, I'm interested in working with you," I'm like, "All right, let's go." Like, you know, really getting too involved. And it's, I think for me, it's about taking a step back and realizing everybody's at a different stage of readiness. And, you know, this is goes back to the motivational interviewing like model, but just being able to kind of sit back and be like, okay, you know, here's my calendar. Here's when we can set up a time, and not being like, so, oh, like, yeah, like it's good to be excited, but at the same time, there's a groundedness that I've cultivated. And I think that's important to stay in my power so that I'm not just constantly, you know, no one likes to feel like they're chased, or like if you're dating someone, no one wants that desperate person. Right. So it's really,
right.
For me, it was anchoring into my power and my value and my setting boundaries, because that's a lot of the personal growth journey is just, you know, owning who you are, not in a cocky way, but just being able to respect yourself, because people will try to, you know, get free information or, you know, test your boundaries. So I think for me, I mean, there's so many lessons I could draw upon, but that's the biggest one.
So for you, so without like jumping, like, I'm so excited you asked and let's do that. That sets you up business-wise by not giving stuff away for free, and maybe your value goes up and you're showing your confidence for what your market is worth and so on. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. And again, it's back to the energy. Like, who am I being when am I owning my stuff, or am I just being like, oh, well, you know, I'll take anybody. No, I'm going to work with people who are ready and who are ready to invest, and that's it. And it's okay if you're not. I think that there's this, especially with new entrepreneurs, it's like, well, I'll just take everybody. You know, everybody's my ideal client. And it's really, it's a specific, you know, niche of people.
Yeah. So. Have you been hurt by that before with someone being too, with you jumping in too soon, and before you know it, you're talking to a men's, you know, army veteran or something like that. I mean, have you been stung by doing something too fast and not thinking?
Absolutely. And I think too, not having clear boundaries on time. Like if I say, you know, I'm going to have a 30-minute consultation and it goes on for an hour, you know, that's where you kind of kick yourself and you're like, oh, why did I do that? So it's really setting up those expectations in the beginning of the call. Like, okay, this is going to be 30 minutes. We're going to dive into this. Any questions? And so just, I think for anybody out there who's an entrepreneur, this is important, because what you show to the world is going to reflect back to you. So if you don't respect your time, people aren't going to respect you either. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
It's a tough lesson to learn, but
but it's learned.
Yeah, it's all good.
So if you, let's say you have to continue to work to fund your life and so on, what would be your highest ideal in the job right now? If you had to have a job, what would it be right now? Would you be like the world's renowned this or that, or what is that dream in the business still?
It's like I said, it just keeps coming back to that vision of like me being in the front of a room with a bunch of women and having my books in the back. You know, I have a staff full of people who can help to, you know, if someone needs assistance, they can go to that person. Having just a supportive network of people who can help me facilitate this experience and have it be that immersive, maybe like 2-day experience where people can experience that transformation, that coaching in person. So that would be the ultimate, you know.
How big could that room be? Could it be a stadium?
Would it be too bold to say Tony Robbins?
What, Tony with Tony Robbins or that kind of
that
stadium?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. All right. I mean, I've met him. I would love to work with him.
I saw your picture with him.
Wow, you you really dug deep.
Yeah, I got to dig deep a little bit. So a big, it could be a big stadium.
Yeah.
What's your stadium there in Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh plays PPG. Outside, don't they? PPG, they have, yeah.
What is that, a basketball thing? Or?
They have concerts there. I don't know if they can turn it into like a basketball court or, you know, they have those like ice skating rinks. So it's pretty big.
All right. So you can picture yourself there.
That's really huge. You're really causing me to stretch my mind here
well,
today.
Well, if you're not going to go there, I'm going to have to charge you and hypnotize you so you'll get there. So then let's say that you made it, let's say in a financial sense where you never have to be anywhere again at anybody's scheduling. What do you see yourself doing? Is it still being in front of this, doing this, or is it something like, no, I did that. Yeah, it was great. I did that, but I also did it to sustain myself to do X. Is there an X, or is being who you are, despite of the money, the final X?
I feel like what naturally comes to my mind is some kind of philanthropic work, like having other pharmacists helping maybe creating this, like a similar model, and having people all over the United States, helping do something. I don't know what exactly the demographic would be, whether it's homeless people or, you know, just people who are like disenfranchised. I don't know what that would look like, but that's like the thing that comes through right now.
Lifting anybody up, and not necessarily women, but maybe you're spreading this so a male counterpart would want to do this for men and so on. It would be taking your methods and then moving that into different areas.
Right. But I think also even deeper is like, I know that there's a lot of impoverished people out there who probably want this work, but they can't afford it because they're not financially able to. So somehow helping those people too. You know, if someone really wants it, I want to be able to, you know, fund a scholarship or whatever it is. I want people to be able to have this work.
Yeah. And I know Christina, for the listeners, I know Christina's not blowing smoke because you've done a lot of, at your level where you were, you did a lot of philanthropic and donating of your time and efforts to those less fortunate through your career. So you're putting your mouth here where where your history was. Will you always be focused on women? Is that a real special thing, or would you take this to the masses of the of the dark side?
With men,
yes.
So I used to work with men specifically with like the lifestyle coaching. And what I found is that men are not as open to, like, they think they're like, oh, well, that's woo woo. That's not practical enough for me.
Sure. Right.
So I've just gravitated to women because they're more naturally open to it.
Yeah.
And
I
have actually noticed that they're more open to hypnosis as well. I've hypnotized men and the results are not as striking.
So, they don't want to let go.
The male ego, yeah.
They don't want to let go. Christina, how can our listeners, how should they get in touch with you? And like, why? Why should they get in touch with you then?
Yeah, so if this message, you know, if our conversation resonated with you, I would love to actually have you join our Lighten Up community on Facebook. And that's a really supportive, tight-knit network of women who want to see you grow and shine in whatever it is that you want to do in life. I do Facebook Lives in that group that are unique to tailor the needs for whatever the topic is for the week that people want to learn about. So, or you can just find me on Facebook under my name, Christina Tarantola. And, or you can visit my website, www.enlightenedwellnesspa.com.
Yeah, Christina, you definitely have the chops to be in there with Tony Robbins. And I was joking about the Today Show, but that's not a joke. You've got the chops for that. And, like I say, I'm not going to charge you for this one. I'm not going to charge you for this one, but I want to see that as being your, I want you to know at least one person sees that and wants you to, be there.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
I mean that seriously. So, pleasure to meet you, Christina. I look forward to talking again.
Thank you so much.
This was the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for future episodes.